Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up near Islamabad, Pakistan, and came to America in 1981 at age 18 with $114 in his pocket. He earned a Bachelor of Science degree in physical therapy from Damon College, and in 1997 founded Sienna Healthcare. Today, Sienna consists of 87 nursing care centers, 10,000-plus employees, and 9,400 residents. A modern-day Horatio Alger story, his name, Muhammad Kazi. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a modern-day Horatio Alger story, the American dream, Muhammad Kazi. Muhammad, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's my pleasure. I'm honored to be here.
Talk to us about growing up near Islamabad, Pakistan. What was your childhood like?
I grew up in a medium-sized town. I had a great childhood. I was the youngest of all of my siblings. Yeah. And so there were six of us. And that my parents, obviously, because I was the youngest, when I was growing up, he was already like an old man. My father was in the army, in the Pakistan army. And then once he came back home from the service, he was somewhat restless, unlike some folks who retire and they're looking forward to just kind of taking it easy, but that was not him. So he started a business, and eventually it turned into a bicycle business. That's what he started out. And eventually it became like mostly wholesale and some retail. So that was sort of my childhood, spending time at the shop, going to school. Everything was close by. I'd go to school, come back, come to the store. And then we had a few other things going on. My brother also had a store at that time, very close by. And, we had a good childhood, great memories.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, Muhammad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Good question. As far as my dad goes, obviously, it goes without saying hard work, because that's all he did. He worked every day, and so that's something that he set an example. He never cared for lazy people. As a matter of fact, to the point where if there was anybody in the family that didn't work or not worked as hard as he expected, he would not talk to them. And anybody who wanted to get to work and wanted to get into business, even his own business alike, which would be looked at as competition, he was happy to help. And he did. He helped a lot of people. He'd go out of his way to help anyone who was starting a business of any kind. So I think I learned that from him too. And without even thinking, I've done that coming here. And once I got into business myself, I did the same thing. And I feel great about it.
And from Mom?
From Mom, generosity, giving, the giving part. She was very giving. And to this day, although she passed away back in the early 90s, people to this day come to our house. My sister lives there. And they still come for whatever they need. So she was an extremely giving person, and very kind and very caring.
We're talking to Muhammad Kazi. To give you an idea of where he came from, their home phone number growing up was 129. Muhammad, what were your dreams as a kid?
I'll have to really think hard about that. I was just a typical kid who just wants to have a good time and playing and all that. And school, in terms of schooling, I didn't always work as hard as I wanted to, but I got serious towards the end of high school. And thank God for that. So I did well. Now, in terms of dreams, I did when I was in high school, later part of my high school, I started dreaming about becoming a pilot. And the reason was, in our hometown, there were two brothers, and they were both pilots. And I was just taken by their presence, and every time they would come into town. And as a matter of fact, for a while, I went to a school called Pilot School, and it was run by their sister. So I knew the family, and every time they would come in town, they would stop by at either my brother's place or my father's, and one would just teasingly call me, how are you doing, pilot? Something along those lines. So I started dreaming about that. And luck would have it, actually. And I went and I took my exams. They had a program that right out of high school, if you had certain score in high school, you graduated they call it first class, that you could directly apply to a program where, you know, then you end up with a bachelor's degree and whatnot and have you, and you become, they call it a GD pilot program in Pakistan Air Force. So I went and I took all the exam. I passed all the written exams and everything else. Then when it came to medical, that's when I first time I found out that I did not have 20/20 vision. So luck would have it, if had it not been for my poor vision.
Who knows?
I wouldn't be sitting with you here today. Let's put it that way.
We're talking to Muhammad Kazi, who in 1981 at age 18 came to America with $114 in his pocket. When we come back, we'll ask him, how did that ever happen? And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Prasula. We're with Muhammad Kazi. Muhammad, 1981, 18 years old, $114 to your name. How'd you ever come to America?
Jack, that's a lot of money. You know, you keep talking about $114. All the people I know that I talk to here, they say I had $2 in my pocket when I landed in America. So I always tease them. That's why you must have heard me say that or something. I said, my God, when I landed, I had lots of money. Compared to you, I was very rich. But the reason I came with not that much money, I could have had a little more, I guess, is that I really had no plans to stay here. I came to visit my sister, who lived in Woodhaven, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I had just finished high school, and she used to come with her children and visit Pakistan every so often. And she says, no one comes to visit me, or, you know, us. So right after high school, I came, and she had kind of planted that seed in my head that, you know, it would be nice if you go to school in the U.S. But I wasn't fully sold on it. I came to visit, and then I honestly, because it was a big change, and I missed my family, my parents, my brother, sister, everybody, and my friends. So I really wanted to go back. I told my sister, I said, she lived in Woodhaven, it was too quiet. For me, I came from a noisy place, you know, and no one comes and visits here. And I was used to, like, you know, very informal sort of living. People are coming, people are going, people just show up at dinner time and they sit down and you don't have to invite them or they don't have to ask you. From that to just, but anyways, getting back to it. So then I wanted to go back, and she insisted that, no, you're here. Why don't you, go to college? And my brother-in-law happened to be a physical therapist. Mm. Mm. And I, you know, I did pre-med in Pakistan the 2 years of, last 2 years that I did. You have to decide by pretty much by ninth grade in Pakistan, either you're going to do medicine or you're going to do engineering or arts. That's it. You decide right there. So I did the pre-med. So so I had all the sort of the, you know, liking to medicine. And I thought maybe I'll go to medical school eventually. But then I had exposure to physical therapy. He had clinics. He worked in the nursing homes. He had contracts. And I took a liking to it. And then rest is all history. I ended up getting accepted into Damien College. And, you know, and I graduated and came back to Michigan, and I worked with them for about a year. And then I went on my own.
1997.
Mm-hmm.
How did Sienna Healthcare ever come to be?
Mm-hmm. Again, it's always, you know, it's things have consequences, you know. You can go in one direction or another. I had no intention of ever owning a nursing home. In my physical therapy business, I loved it. I had a couple of outpatient clinics. And then also, I started hiring therapists. There was a serious shortage of physical therapists, even occupational and speech. And at that time, there were a lot of therapists coming on H-1 visas from Philippines, from Poland, from Pakistan, from India, from everywhere. So I started hiring them. So at one point, I had a couple of hundred therapists working for me. And I basically staffed nursing homes. I had contracts in nursing homes. So they worked in my clinics and then in the nursing homes as well. So that's how my therapy, my nursing home sort of, you know, exposure business-wise. Then there was a change in how rehab companies, the therapy companies were reimbursed and how nursing homes were reimbursed back as part of the balanced budget amendment. I believe it must have been 1995, was it? And that changed the business substantially. So I started losing contracts. Most of the nursing homes at that time, they had the way they were reimbursed really radically changed. So now it was more much more advantageous to them to hire their own staff versus contract therapy company. So not just me. I mean, many of the other therapy companies went out of business. A lot of nursing homes actually filed for bankruptcy. It was not a good time for the industry. And along the way, there was a gentleman, the Monaco family, Sam Monaco, great guy from east side of Detroit. He said, "Mohammed, you should buy my nursing home." I said, "Sam, no, I like my therapy business." Anyways, I bought my first nursing home in Detroit on East Grand Boulevard, and it is still there. That's how it started, sort of a side deal. But then as I was losing therapy business, there were more opportunities in the nursing home business because many of the people, they wanted to get out because the reimbursement system changed. It was too much for them. And I looked at that as an opportunity. So I said, okay, you know, I've got to do something. So I started picking up nursing homes. Most of the nursing homes change hands, you know. But then about 12 years ago, I started building new nursing homes. And for that, you need a certificate of need from the state. Unlike assisted living or independent living, for nursing homes, they're highly regulated, and you can't just go and build one. So I was very fortunate. Timing was good, and I was able to obtain a number of certificate of needs. So I started building new nursing homes and with a lot more sort of what I really wanted to do. It became my passion, senior care, and it always has been. And it's been very rewarding to me.
Paint for us a picture of Sienna Healthcare today.
So Sienna Healthcare as a group, the Sienna Group, under it has two companies. One is Sienna Healthcare. And then there's another company in Ohio, Laurel Healthcare. So these are two divisions. But overall, yes, we have about
87.
Okay. Facilities. And half of them are in Michigan. Michigan is home. Beyond that, next market, large market for us is Ohio. And then I do have buildings in Virginia and North Carolina and one in Indiana. And primarily it's really, in general sense of things, two sorts of patients we see. One is truly long-term care, the elderly, which we're talking about 85, 90, 95-year-olds, and we certainly have had a number of folks over 100 years old. Then the other pretty substantial part of our business is short-term stays, and that's where we get relatively younger people. We're talking in their 70s maybe, and they're just there. Maybe they were in the hospital. They had some sort of surgery, maybe hip replacement, knee replacement, or something else. And they just need some rehab before they go home. They're not ready yet to be on their own. So they come to us. They get rehab, physical therapy, nursing, whatever their needs are. So it's a step down from a hospital because hospitals now, you know, they discharge patients fairly quickly. Then we provide the care, and then they go home after a week or two. And that's where all these new buildings that we're building are with large amenities and facilities for these short-term stays. And Siena, really, I take a lot of pride. I think we're really in the forefront, as not just at a state level, but nationally we're recognized as a progressive company in terms of the care that we provide, the model that we have, all these new builds that you will, I'd love to have you visit. I think you have been to one, maybe. Yes, right. State-of-the-art, a lot of private homes. So we've basically de-institutionalized that model. Historically, nursing homes are very institutional in feel and look and also in services. Everything is very regimented, when you eat, what you eat, blah, blah, blah. We've turned that upside down. A lot of private rooms, their own showers, as opposed to just having a community shower or whatever. Food is, we have a corporate chef, and a lot of choices in terms of food, what people get to eat, what they get to do. So it's really, I say come here to live for long-term care. It's not, unfortunately, the image that comes to people's mind, and I don't blame them, that's just part of reality, that people go to nursing home to die. So my tagline is, no, come here to live. Okay? We're all going to die. It doesn't matter. You're in a nursing home, but
somewhere.
You're on a cruise. It doesn't matter. But
we're talking to Muhammad Kazi, and I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Muhammad Kazi. If you want to learn more, www.ciena.com. Muhammad, you're just in the middle of opening three new ones.
That's correct, Jack. We have three buildings under construction, and all three of them were replacements for existing, much older buildings. So not only that, I've built buildings with a new certificate of need, where we're not really, it's starting from scratch. On top of that, I've been replacing some of the older buildings. So altogether, I believe I've opened up 15 or 16 new buildings in Michigan. And maybe half of them have these replacements. So I had three under construction, and two of them have opened up. One is in St. Clair Shores. It's called Regency at St. Clair Shores. On Mac, and that was a replacement for St. Mary's on 9 Mile, just very close to that. So we took a 100-bed facility where pretty much every room was at least two or three people, and some of them, but mostly two, and probably 50-year-old building. And then we were able to acquire some more beds from the state, so we opened up about 146-bed, state-of-the-art, I think it's 95,000 square feet building. Okay. We opened it up. Then the other one was a replacement for a building in Livonia, and the replacement building that we just opened up in Westland, a few miles down the street. That's also, it was a much older building. and I've replaced that. The third one is opening up in Detroit. That gives me probably the most pleasure of opening up all these buildings, because Detroit gave me my start, and I've always wanted to build in Detroit. But it's hard to assemble land, and there are some other challenges and whatnot. So I'm really, really delighted, looking forward to an opening. It's coming up, February 20th is the grand opening for Regency at Shane, and it's right by Eastern Market. And it's a replacement for two smaller buildings on East Grand Boulevard. And I've been also very fortunate that many of these buildings that we've replaced or we've shut down in Detroit, some of the buildings, we've had a great partnership with Detroit Rescue Mission, and they have turned all these buildings into shelters for either for homeless, or they're doing a lot of drug rehab, all sorts of wonderful services. For some of them are for females, and they do vocational training and what have you. It's a long list of things that Detroit Rescue Mission does. So I've had a wonderful partnership with them.
In business, the only constant is change. And
correct.
You've talked about, you know, transformation and mm-hmm. technological changes, correct. Et cetera. Talk to us about the evolution mm-hmm. of food service in these nursing homes.
As I mentioned earlier, historically, it was very institutional. You know, food comes on a tray, you get certain things, and it was basically to meet the state guidelines in terms of, you know, what you're supposed to, the calories and what have you, diet-wise, and that's it. You know, minimum or whatever. And I didn't like that. I always felt that I ought to be able to go and eat the same food that my residents eat. And at that time, I definitely didn't, because I love food and I like good food. So I ended up, and now it's not just Siena, you know, I think industry-wide, there's a big change. There's a big change. And thank God for that. We've ways to go in a number of things, but I think the nursing home industry has made tremendous, tremendous progress in terms of the quality of care, in terms of first of the care, and then the food and all these amenities. So I hired a chef who was a corporate chef for Andiamo's. And I said, okay, we need to change the menu a little bit. So he has a corporate kitchen where he trains all of our other chefs and our cooks. So it's constant. That's all he does year-round. And then when you come to the opening, I hope you will come. And our chefs make all the food that our residents eat. And so it's a joy.
Every job today is tough.
Correct.
But I've often thought that one of the toughest jobs is to be a chef or cook at a nursing facility. Because there's all these older women who were all fantastic cooks. Everything from scratch. Mm-hmm. And no matter what the poor chef serves, you know, misses this and misses this.
Right.
You didn't put enough salt in. You got to do this.
Right.
They got to hear that every night.
Correct. Well, we do have, because they're, obvious, like you said, we're dealing with folks who have all sorts of dietary restrictions, salt, this, that, and all sorts of. So there is a certified dietitian. Registered dietitian, I'm sorry, in every nursing home. It's required. Nursing home, you know, because it's heavily regulated, our industry, so what you do get is a lot of staff and very sort of comprehensive care for these patients. So, you know, the dietitians watch as far as what's required in terms of their diet and so forth. So they work with the chef. They come up with all these. But a lot of now food that we make, we use, that's the big change. Typically, nursing homes, mostly food was, you know, frozen, you know, no smell, no nothing, it's just cooked and given and all that, and I just don't like that. So now, you know, you walk in there and there's smell of fresh food being cooked and whatnot. So, yeah, all good.
If you want to learn more, www.Ciena healthcare.com. You've got 10,000 teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the job that these caretakers do every day. Muhammad, the patients that these people have, they're angels.
Absolutely. And that's another thing that I'm glad you mentioned it, because bad things do happen everywhere. But when they happen in one nursing home, it's like, you know, breaking news, this or that. And I'm not saying it's not a perfect setup. Like, just like anything else in life, there are some employees who maybe, you know, fail to do something and something unfortunate happens. And, but what people don't recognize or acknowledge until and unless they have their loved one in a nursing home, then they find out, oh my God, these caregivers, they're angels, true angels. And because it takes a lot of passion to work with the elderly, first of all. You're dealing with people, fairly sick people, who need a lot of help. And physical issues, mental issues, all sorts of issues. You know, you're cleaning them, you're doing a lot of personal care. That is not easy. And considering for like the economy that we have, for example, right? People can, you know, there's more jobs than the hands that we have. So all the, you know, so there are all sorts of opportunities for particularly the frontline workers, which are the CNAs, we call them CNAs, Certified Nurses Assistant. They do bulk of the heavy lifting, right, so to speak. And my heart goes out to them because it's tough work. I'm very blessed, very blessed. We have a phenomenal team.
We're talking to Muhammad Kazi, who's in these past 25 years have helped over 100,000 residents. When we come back, we're going to ask him what he's learned from those 100,000 residents. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Muhammad Kazi, who came to America on June 16th, 1981, at age 18, with $114 in his pocket. Here, almost 40 years later,
yeah,
you've helped serve 100,000 residents.
Mm-hmm.
What have they taught you, Muhammad?
You know, one of the wonderful things about quote unquote old people is that they can be totally honest, whether you like it or not. That's a wonderful thing because they can afford to tell you, you know what, right? Or they can, you know, and then they've got stories to tell you and, you know, life lessons, right? And I love talking to the elderly. I've always enjoyed that. I wish I could do more of that, but of course now work keeps me busy and trying to find more help and this and that and other stuff. But you just, you know, you really count your blessings every single day. And if you've had the blessings to live up to 70, 80, 90, oh my God. So people like myself, you know, relatively younger to them, I'm very conscientious of life that, you know, if I can really get to that, you never know. I don't know about next breath I'll take or not. But so I say, wow, what a blessing it is. You really learn to appreciate life. And you say, you know what? I can do those things. I can do those things that they can't right now. And I'll be there if I'm, you know, God gives me enough time. So,
people who know you say you can do those things. Muhammad, everything you touch turns to gold. Some say that. Have you had any setbacks?
Oh, sure. Yes, sure. And, obviously what you see always is the successes, right? That's what people, and all in all, the big picture looks good. It's great. And that's always been my attitude anyways. I've had losses. I've made bad investments. When I was losing my nursing home contracts and all that. But one of the things that I'm very blessed with, I've always been very content. So, and believe it or not, if I would lose an investment, I lose a contract, the way I dealt with this, I went and maybe had the best lunch with a friend or have a great dinner that night and celebrate and count my blessing of what I have, not what I lost. It meant nothing to me in my life. It didn't change my lifestyle. So I'm not saying nobody enjoys losing business. But, you have to be very conscientious of what you do have.
If there's a listener or a son or daughter tonight who has a mom and dad where they've got to put them in a nursing home, what should they look for in a nursing home?
Good question. Obviously, right now, because of the technology and the information that's available, everyone Googles everything, and they go online. And that's a good place to start, because Medicare has something called a 5-star rating system. It's called Medicare Compare. It's a website. It's www.medicarecompare, I believe. It's basically, or if they can just Google 5-star rating system for nursing homes, Medicare collects, CMS collects a lot of data from nursing homes, from every nursing home in the country. And then there is a rating system based on quality, based on surveys, based on all sorts of stuff. It's a highly regulated business. Abuse, neglect, everything is there. So a facility can be 1-star, 2, 3, 4, 5. I take a lot of pride that we have more 5-star facilities in the state than anybody else. So that's a good start, but it's not a perfect rating system. One incident can change a facility from 5-star to 1-star for a month or 3 months or whatnot. I highly recommend the ultimate thing, regardless of what the rating is, even if it's 5. The best thing you can do if you're looking to place your loved one, your mom, your dad, you must go walk into the nursing home unannounced. Don't make an appointment. Just show up and say, please give me a tour. I'm looking to place my mom. Walk around and talk to residents and talk to staff and see if the staff looks happy. Very, very important. Because if the staff is not happy, more likely the care is not that great.
Makes sense.
There may be issues. There might be issues. So go talk and go visit and go smell, so to speak.
In 2015... Yeah. You purchased the old fire department headquarters on Larned and Washington Street. Why and what has it become?
So the building was actually purchased by a gentleman named Walter Cohen. He was a good friend. And then he was looking for investors. And he brought in a company called Aperium Group to actually operate it as a hotel. I went and visited the building. It was the old headquarters for the fire department, Detroit Fire Department. And the building is on the corner of Larned and Washington. And it's a gem, like so many gems we have in Detroit. We're very fortunate. These buildings are amazing. And you walk in and you fall in love with a building like that. That's bound to happen. So they were looking for somebody, an investor to basically be their anchor investor. And I looked at the building, and they wanted to rehab it and turn it into a 100-room hotel. So I said, that's great. I'm not in the hotel business, but they were going to have a restaurant there. But I said, I do love food. So if you can promise me, guarantee me. That's all I asked. I didn't ask for the returns or anything like that. I said, if you can bring a great chef, we need some good food in Detroit. And they promised, and then they delivered. And it's a wonderful story because Chef Tom Lentz, who's been the chef now at the Apparatus Room at the Foundation Hotel, he was born and raised in Michigan. He was in Chicago, two Michelin star chef. So we're very pleased that he wanted to move back home. So anyways, the rest is history. It's doing phenomenal. It's been a great success. There are a bunch of other investors, smaller investors into this group also. So it's a group of investors. So it's been a great joy.
Mm-hmm. You recently said, we are very fortunate. Tell us about how good we have it living in America.
Well, it's been an amazing journey. And what I will say is this about this country. I travel a lot. One of the things that I love, and I still go to Pakistan. I have family there, and I love that place. It's a home to me. But every time I've gone to the most amazing, the most stunning places on the planet, I land back here, and I fall in love with this country again. I could live anywhere. But this is it. It doesn't get better.
Maybe not Woodhaven, but yeah, anywhere.
Okay. It's truly still is a land of opportunity, and there is no other country on the planet. People say stuff that people want to go to more than this country. That has not changed, no matter what.
Mohammad Kazi, you're a great man, a great success, but more importantly, you're a good man. Keep it up.
Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you for having me. Thank you. God bless America.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Believe in yourself.